Blog Talk Radio. Live from Omaha, Nebraska, it's Conversations with John Curry Sr. on the Forward Boldly Network. And now here's your host, John Curry Sr.
Thank you very much, and good evening, and welcome. Tonight's our 189th broadcast, and as you know, we've announced previously, next week is our sayonara, and it'll be number 190. Let's get started as we always do, reverting to the Latin, beautiful Latin of the Roman Catholic Church as we pray a couple of prayers. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sanctus. Amen. Pater noster qui es in caelis, sanctificator nomen tuum adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua sicut in caelo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittibus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. And then we continue, Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus tui, Jesus. Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis, peccatoribus, et nunc et in semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Beautiful, beautiful prayers. The Our Father, and of course, the Ave, the Hail Mary. Good evening and welcome to Conversations with John Curry Sr. We're live from Omaha, Nebraska on this June the 5th. And I'm probably going to wax nostalgia tonight, and next week you're going to have to put up with it, because I've already worked on, while we're going to end this this series next week, and I'm probably going to use 2 hours. So I have a lot to summarize and cover about the ground that we've been over the past 4 years on internet radio. I read something very interesting this week in the Columbia magazine. In fact, it was on the back cover of the Columbia magazine. And it's a very short article, and it starts with a quotation. And this quotation is really worth thinking about, because we've talked about lay apostles, and we've talked about being called and so forth. Here's the quotation, quote, God qualifies those whom he calls, close quote. So if you're a little reluctant, think about that. Again, I want to repeat that. Quote, God qualifies those whom he calls, close quote. Now, this quotation comes from a priest, a young priest, who is with the Order of Saint Camillus in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. His name is Father Jojo Arosa, O-R-O-S-A. He is from the Philippine Islands. And here's what he says in this brief article. I thought it was beautiful, and it really got my eye. He said, though I dreamed early in life of becoming a priest and a religious, I always had doubts that I would have what it takes. When I was in grade school, I used to help a priest prepare to celebrate Mass in a local hospital. But then I would run outside and wait for him to finish, because I could not stand the smell and sight of the hospital. Today, however, I wear a red cross that shows I'm a member of the Order of St. Camillus, which works mainly in the healthcare field. I could never have imagined that my entry to seminary would lead me from a remote town in the Philippines to the St. Camillus campus in Milwaukee. I came to learn the truth in the expression, quote, God does not call the qualified, but qualifies those whom he calls, close quote. And then Father Jojo ends this by saying, I now dedicate my life to God by professing vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and embracing the special charism of the chameleons, serving the sick, even with dangers to my own life. I thought that was extremely beautiful. Again, this is in this month's the June issue of the Columbia magazine. It's on the back cover, and I haven't gone through the magazine. I just was in a stack of things on the desk here in the studio, and I looked at this and I said, I want to share this with the audience. I think this is really, really good, and particularly any of you who may have some self-doubts about whether you could form your own apostolate. And I'm going to talk more about that in just a minute. Okay, next. Most of the conversations that I have with our listeners are off the air. And this has been true for, well, 2 or 3 years at least, because of the nature of the topics we talk about. They are hot. And many people, who, while in total agreement with the old warrior, would rather not have their voice or whatever identified on the radio waves. So I get emails and I get phone calls. And I got a couple this week that were very touching. Those recalling last week, I began the broadcast not with the Paternoster. I ended with the Paternoster. I began with the impossible dream. Don Quixote, the man of La Mancha. And the listener wrote, great way to launch the program. Marian chivalry is exactly what the church needs today. A resurgence of that kind of manhood in Catholicism. Me hope for the future. Men being men, including the clergy. Then the writer said, I discovered the news about the decision to shut down the Blog Talk venture. I know all good things must come to an end, but it's sad all the same. You've had a pretty good run. Encouraging folks to take up an apostolate is very good to do. Thank you. This writer also, and I haven't read this book, but he highly recommends it, and this particular listener has communicated with me any number of times, so I feel that I know him quite well, and I really do trust his judgment. There is a book entitled, if you've got a pencil, The Soul of the Apostolate. The author's name is Dom, D-O-M, and the last name is C-H-A-U-T-A-R-D. You can find this on Amazon, so probably get a really good price. The listener said that he can recommend this book to anyone who decides to take up the, quote, apostolic lance, close quote, for Christ. I consider it must reading for such people. He had mentioned right on the cover that Pius X had a copy of it on his nightstand. Even popes need to remind themselves of the order of importance of all things. This book is a great reading. So it's not a new book. And I read an enormous number of books. I just have to admit that I haven't read this one. I'm going to read it. It's going to be a project for me this summer. I've got a list of things, and this is on it. So we thank this listener very much. We also heard from another listener concerning our stopping the broadcast. And I will tell you that Christine Niles, our founder and executive director, and the Old Wire made the decision jointly, and we were not happy about it. We were saddened, but it was the right decision given the circumstances that we faced and the situation that as it presented itself. So we do thank the people that keep writing us and calling us. And just because we're going to stop next week, the email will not be shut down, nor will my telephone. So we'd like to hear from you. And we really, really enjoy the conversations. I would be remiss, I guess, in mentioning, well, I'll mention this in just a minute. All right. Now, lay apostolates. I touched on this a couple of weeks ago. And apparently I hit a few nerves out there. And, of course, that's what the Old Wire always tries to do. I want to get people's attention to their spiritual lives and what you can do not only for your own soul but for the souls of others. Save a soul and you'll save your own. Is an old expression that I believe very firmly in. Lay apostles. What kind of things do lay apostles do? It's an infinite variety of things. How about visiting the sick? Are you good? Are you good with sick people? Well, that could be a calling. There's a lot of sick people. How about teaching the catechism? Are you fully catechized? Why haven't you contacted the Old Warrior? I got something all ready to go for you right here. Are you skilled with a pen? Or in this case now, a computer, I guess. I'll ask this question. How many books or papers have you written to support the church? There's an awful lot of stuff out there that is anti-Catholicism. We need to balance that a bit more. So there's really an endless variety of things. You ask yourself, when you examine your conscience, what kind of special gifts did the Lord give me? You know, you could use these special gifts, for example, in the secular occupation, as I did, speaking and writing. And they're now transferable, of course, to the church and to doing God's work. So, maybe you have computer skills. There's a real, real calling on the internet for internet television and internet radio people with computer skills. Did you know that? And all you have to do is dial up a few of these websites and you'll see what I'm talking about. So, I could list a whole bunch of these things, but my main appeal is that you open your mind to the possibility that you could be a lay apostle, male or female. We need them. We really do. The septuagenarians and octogenarians who were steeped in the traditional faith, the Orthodox Catholics, if you will, the old Baltimore Catechism Catholics, if you will. More and more of us are heading to heaven. So we need replacements in the army for Christ. And I encourage you to think about that. I really do. All right, now I want to sell some soap tonight. That's right. About a month ago, maybe it's been longer. This time just flies for your old warrior. My wife and I took a trip to Texas. We were off that 1 week because we wanted to visit our youngest grandson who was making his first Holy Communion. That's 9 grandchildren. So we've made every first communion and every confirmation for each, all 9. Of course, we have about, let's see, we have 3 or 4 left to be confirmed. And we'll make them, God willing. And while we were in Texas, we met with 3 wonderful nuns. These are nuns that were trained by Mother Angelica in Alabama and came to Texas to start a monastery of St. Michael the Archangel in San Antonio. And as most people who take vows of poverty and chastity and obedience, they're mendicants. They beg for money. They do it honorably, by the way, because the funds are employed in a very positive way. What they're trying to do is raise money for this monastery. They have a list of women just waiting for them to have proper quarters so that they can be admitted. Yes, the Mother Superior told me something like 20 or 22. So, we need more nuns, don't we? All right, now, we, my wife and I bought some soap. This is bathing soap, okay? It's terrific soap, aromatic, various different aromas and so forth. They also have a liquid soap, so it's both bars and liquids. And we've tried it. I have had, the old warrior has very sensitive skin. I've not been allowed by dermatologists to put any soap on my skin in years and years and years. I tried the soap. I feel wonderful. So I'm going to give you the website. And they have a nice presentation on their website, which is easily followed. The website is www.texasnuns.com. I'll repeat that. www.texasnuns.com. Buy some soap from these nuns. You'll love it. By the way, one of the things the nuns told me was, they're in about their second year of this now, is that everybody that buys soap repeats. And when she told me that as a businessman, former businessman, I said, you've got a business, sister. You have a really good business. Repeating customers are what drive the success of any business. So this soap is really good. And I wouldn't hawk it just because it's made by nuns. It also has to be of high quality, and it's very high quality. So help the nuns out. Dial that up that website and order some soap. And the nuns will pray for you, and that will be something that I think you'll treasure. Okay. What else do we have in the stack here? All right. I want to talk a little bit about going forward now before we start our topic. Our topic tonight, by the way, is an act of love. We're going to talk about love tonight. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, just because live broadcasting on the Blog Talk Radio network is stopping as of next Sunday night, with my our regular broadcast next Sunday night will be the last one. Forward Boldly is not stopping at all. Forward Boldly's website, which contains a very large compendium of works by not only the old warrior. There's 90-minute dissertations on there, for example, but many interviews done by Christine Niles, Father Jose, Father Roman, and the other two lay gentlemen who have since retired are all retained on that website. So you can find probably any topic that is troubling you, and you can stream it and record it if you need to and share it with others. And we really encourage you to use that and take advantage of it. The website is www.forwardboldly.com. Very easy to remember. Okay, now here's another incidental that came up as a result of some conversations this week. As many of you know who are regular listeners, I put together, along with the Fiat Ministry Network in Cleveland, Ohio, a 10-part series on how to teach the new catechism. And it's been edited, and it's available for use. We have discs that you can be purchased. We also have an instructional manual on how it's to be accomplished. And I'm available for any and all people who may be interested in that. All right? Now, where you find information about this is on my own website, which is www.johnmcurry.com. As a part of our efforts to encourage catechesis, even though we're leaving the airwaves of Blog Talk Radio after next week, we have a standing rule that anyone who wants a catechism and can't afford one, all you need to do is send me an email with your address and I'll mail you one. That's correct. Now, they run about $10. We mail the pocket-sized version, but it's the 800 pages, and you will have a catechism that you can refer to on a daily basis, which most Catholics do not have. Less than 0.25% of the world's Catholics own the new catechism, which is absolutely horrible. And is the reason why the church has been sinking, because there's nobody knowledgeable out there to defend it. So take up your old wire on this. It gives me great joy whenever I get an email and I can stick one of these things. We have a little shipping envelope, and they go out the next day. No questions asked. I get great joy from that. So if you know someone that needs a free catechism, what do? You send me an email. My email address is johncurry@cox.net. And they'll get a free catechism, or you will, and you can deliver to them. It doesn't matter. We just want to get more catechisms in the hands of Catholics. And take advantage of that, please. All right. Let's see. Is that all the stuff I've got in the stack? Well, that's most of it. Now, we're going to talk about love tonight. How could love be construed as a hot topic? And by the way, it is a hot topic for many, many people. Because you see, they can't define what love is. Normally, what they're thinking about is not love, but lust. They're not thinking about agape. So, I think we better do this just to be on the safe side, that we love and deeply respect all steadfast, Catholic anointed and consecrated people, bishops, priests, deacons, brothers, and nuns. Our motivation in doing these broadcasts is not to challenge or replace the teaching authority of the magisterium, as expressed in items 84 through 100. Of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Our desire is to strengthen it. Our apostolate is based upon speaking and writing, with the only goal being the salvation of souls. We have no other agendas here. And we promise that all of our speaking and writing conforms completely to the compendium of faith as expressed in that catechism, which we will not alter in any way. And this message is so important that I will repeat it at the conclusion of my formal remarks this evening. All right, tonight's topic is an act of love. If you'd like to talk to me about this topic, that's simply done by dialing area code 646-716-4669. Those streaming the broadcast can reach me in my Omaha office, and I'll be in the office the entire week this week at area code 402-330-4187. You can also reach me via email, and the email address again is johncurrycox, that's C-O-X, dot net. Okay, I think let's take our break. We're going to take our break a couple of minutes early so I don't break the continuity of this. You're listening to Conversations with John Curry Sr. on the Forward Boldly Radio Network. When we come back, I'll begin tonight's topic, which is an act of love. We ask that you please stay tuned.
You're listening to Forward Boldly Radio. The title of this radio network is taken from the battle cry of Saint Joan of Arc. Riding before the army of soldiers, holding high her battle standard on which was emblazoned the names of Jesus and Mary, she would cry out, "In God's name, forward boldly." Like Saint Joan, who displayed courage and fearlessness in the face of the enemy, we also are called to ride out boldly to fight on behalf of truth, rescuing souls from death, using the weapons of prayer, sacrifice, personal holiness, and evangelism through word and deed. And like this saint, we are called to take the offense, not meant merely to sit back and ward off the blows that may come. We are, rather, called to ride forth to wage war against the enemy and attack, giving no quarter. Because of her tenacity, courage, fidelity, and humility, this network has been entrusted to the care of the little maid, that through her intercession it may be used as a vessel to spread truth and crush error. So in the words of Saint Joan of Arc, in God's name, forward boldly.
Thank you. An act of love. Tonight on our 189th broadcast, we complete the trilogy of the theological virtues with a discussion about the, quote, bond of perfection, close quote, an act of love. Most of us recall the words of Scripture, "Greater love than this no man hath, that he lay down his life for a friend." When you read that statement, Jesus is indicating to each of us that he wants us as a friend, not a servant. And so the words of the act of love reflect this teaching. You'll find this in the old Baltimore Catechism. The words have not been changed in more than half a century. Here is an act of love. Oh my God, I love you above all things, with my whole heart and soul, because you are all good and worthy of all my love. I love my neighbor as myself for the love of you. I forgive all who have injured me, and I ask pardon of all whom I have injured. Those of you that are my age out there, you recall those words, don't you? Sadly, I don't hear in the church today, at least not publicly, people saying the acts of faith, hope, and love. They're the old prayer books for sure, but in some of the new missals, they're not there. And I wonder about that. Now, we know that love binds faith and hope together in the perfection of all three virtues. But what is this ethereal virtue that the present world seems totally devoid of? To many, and perhaps even most, it seems imaginary. And that's sad. And that explains the abyss that we're in. I think the best definition in all of Christendom of love is given by St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you happen to have your scripture handy, you might open it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And you'll recall these words. I know you will. Here's what St. Paul said. Charity is patient and kind. Charity is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Charity does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Charity bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Again, the citation is 1 Corinthians. That's the 13th chapter, and I just read verses 4 through 7. Actually, I know them by heart, but so I recited them, I guess, is the proper word. Now, we have to understand something that's very important. Charity gets its strength from faith and hope. Recall how the theological virtues are listed. The order is faith first, hope second, and then charity. So charity gets its strength from faith and hope. The understanding that comes from the faith. And the steadfastness that comes from hope. These two attributes make love, quote, patient and kind, close quote. Now, the reason we don't see much love today, true love, is because love contains a complete absence of self. I'm pausing. I want that statement to sink in. A complete absence of self is what love is all about. And as you might suspect, the Catechism of the Catholic Church has a lot to say on the subject of charity. We should thank its primary authors, St. John Paul II and Benedict XVI, and think of their many encyclicals and pronouncements on the subject of love. Several times in past broadcasts, we have cited Deus Caritas Est, which of course means God is love, an encyclical by Benedict XVI, as a very good place to start to discover the fullness of the Church's teaching on an act of love. Again, how can you defend something if you don't know it, don't understand it deeply? There's no effort at all required to get a copy of Deus Caritas Est. You've got a computer. You just turn it on, and go to the net, type in those three words, and it'll come up on your screen. How hard is that? You don't have to leave the comforts of your home or your office or wherever your computer is located. And you can sit there and digest from the great theologian Benedict XVI what love is really all about. And I think many people, if they did that, would be absolutely startled. Let's start out with this reality. We know that true love is not an emotion. Oh, some of the young people are scratching their heads on that when the old warrior maybe spoke out of turn. No, I didn't speak out of turn. Love is not an emotion. However, when you read Deus Caritas Est, your old warrior at least found himself getting a tear in his eye. This vicar of Christ's love for God is so beautiful. And then to see him forced into retirement. because he couldn't countenance the, quote, filth, close quote, that had entered the church through the Lavender Mafia. Pray for this great man, Benedict XVI. And better yet, read this encyclical, and you'll get an appreciation of why I have said in the past, and will say again, he's one of the great theologians in the history of the church. There's no doubt in my mind about it. And on this latter thought about the filth which he discovered in the church, I'm sure we'll find out more about this subject after Christ recalls this wonderful vicar to heaven. It really, really made him sick. As our regular listeners know, don't want to get the old warrior started on this subject. So let's move on. But I promise you, I'm going to talk about it in our final broadcast next week. I have to. It's an obligation. Item 1822. 1822 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that, quote, charity is the theological virtue by which we love God above all things for his own sake and our neighbors as ourselves for the love of God, close quote. For many, many years, I've observed Christians mouthing these words without giving much thought to what is required for the acquisition and retention of the virtue of love. And by the way, it's totally necessary for us to experience the beatific vision. We love God, quote, above all things, close quote. Why? Because he made all things. He is the primary cause of everything. And it occurs to me that there is a reality that escapes most of us all the time. Try this one. Ask any would-be inventor, does the inventor start with nothing? And we hear the reply, well, I started with an idea. Now, what do you say to that? Well, you say that you say very simply, well, where did that idea come from? What was its origin? Point, don't you? Simple logic brings us all back to God as the true source of everything. And why do we love God for his own sake? I wonder how many of you could answer that question. The answer is because God is owed our love. Not that he needs it, for he is complete without any of us. Whereas we are incomplete without him. I just paraphrased about 10 pages of Aquinas for you there and a couple of lines. Now, what about our neighbors and love of neighbor? Well, our neighbors can be sources of grace for us if we truly love them as we love ourselves. But they can also be sources of evil for us if we spurn them. Random musings from your old warrior tonight. As I take apart this teaching in my own mind, this mental exercise is good for us, especially when you get old. And it comes in part from contemplation that comes from the practice of this theological virtue. I know it works for me. Perhaps it will work for you. Because you see, faith, hope, and charity are about our relationship with God, with Theos. That's why they're called theological. Next, item 1823 in the Beautiful Catechism, my favorite book, tells us that Jesus makes charity the, quote, new commandment, close quote. Whoa. New commandment. And then we are referred to St. John, Chapter 13, verse 34. The scene is the Last Supper. The night before Jesus died. And Jesus told the apostles, quote, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. That as I have loved you, you also love one another. Close quote. Judas Iscariot had just left the table without the apostles knowing why before Jesus said those words. Judas had been possessed by Satan. Satan had entered into him. And Judas surrendered to Satan. Love was destroyed in Judas, both for Christ and his fellow apostles. And he hastily left the upper room to be about his betrayal. The lesson there, of course, is that man is always free to accept or reject virtue. It's part of our free will. Judas chose the wrong path. Path of desolation and death. Even after experiencing the holiness of Jesus Christ directly. Think about that. I have. It's hard to imagine that. But free will is something that's very, very difficult to for human beings to totally understand. And I place myself at the head of the list there. Now, in vivid contrast to Judas, the apostle, quote, whom Jesus loved, close quote. That's, of course, St. John the Evangelist. The only apostle not martyred. And foster son of the Blessed Virgin, writes late in his life of his memories of Jesus' love. Now this is, John lived to be past 90. So probably more than a half a century went by before he wrote the finishing touches of this gospel. In his chapter 13, verse 1, we read, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that the hour had come for him to pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end. And then again, he says in chapter 15, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Your old warrior is a wordsmith. Most of you know I majored in English in college. I've written lots of articles, books, etc. And I really am very, very selective about certain words, how certain words are to be used. I want to call to your attention the verb Christ chose to tell his apostles how to love. That verb is abide, A-B-I-D-E, which means to continue. To endure, to exist in, to inhabit, or to remain. That's the permanence of love that Jesus expected of his apostles, his first bishops. And it's the permanence of love he rightly expects of all bishops through apostolic succession. It's time for our second break. You're listening to Conversations with John Curry Sr. on the Forward Boldly Radio Network. If you want to talk to me tonight, again, you can dial area code 646-716-4669. We'll be back with another half hour to finish up the topic, an act of love, and we ask that you please stay tuned. Thank you.
You're listening to Forward Boldly Radio. Please visit our main page at forwardboldly.com, where you can learn more about our programming and access all our hosts' archived shows. Our hosts, comprised of both clergy and laity, are all faithful to the magisterium and provide solid commentary on various aspects of Catholic orthodoxy and orthopraxy. The mission of Forward Boldly Radio is to spread the light of the one true faith through online media. And we take our name from St. Joan of Arc, who, when riding into battle with the army of soldiers, would hold high her battle standard and cry out, "In God's name, forward boldly." We hope you'll join us in our mission by sharing our shows, praying for us, and if possible, donating to help offset the costs of running this network. All our content is free. Again, you can find us at forwardboldly.com and on Facebook. Thank you for your support, and in the words of St. Joan of Arc, in God's name, forward boldly.
When we left off, we were talking about the permanence of love that Christ expected of his bishops through apostolic succession. It's well to point out that he also expects that permanence of all baptized Catholics as a sustaining virtue. Love is the great commandment described in the Gospel of St. Matthew. And the incident is the scene where the Pharisees, doctor of the law, asked Jesus, quote, "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" If you go to Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, Jesus gives a reply that sent the Pharisee packing. Here's what Jesus said, quote, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and with thy whole soul and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Now, I think most of us recall that scriptural citation. But these two commandments really define the whole law and any prophetic teachings that come there as a result thereof. Jesus was saying that everything that has been written and or prophesied is dependent upon abiding by these two commandments. That's what he said. Should we put this teaching to a modern test? Oh, this is going to be ugly. How do we love our neighbor as ourself when we kill babies in abortion? How do we love ourselves when we euthanize old people? How do we love our neighbor as ourselves when politicians regularly bear false witness against their opponents? Any of these strike a nerve? And remember, of course, that these Pharisees that Christ was chastising were the politicians of that day, with all of their political clout, arrogance, and corruption. How did they unscrupulously use government against the very people who elected them? Does that sound familiar? All of these and many more are sins against the two great commandments. So what if we lack a daily act of love? Paul told us that if we lack charity, quote, I am nothing, close quote. That's what he said. That's pretty strong. But what is the deeper meaning here? The deeper meaning is when God created our immortal souls, they were designed as a part of their essence to be filled with love. When through sin and error, we abandon that design, we lose all spiritual value. And as Paul told us again, quote, I am nothing, close quote. We have now become enemies of love. And who is love? Now I want to refer you to item number 1825 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, where we are reminded that Christ died out of love for us while we were still, quote, enemies, close quote. The Lord asks us to love as he does, even our enemies, to make ourselves the neighbor of those farthest away, and to love children and the poor as Christ himself. As our second last broadcast, this message tonight may well be the most important of all messages your old wire has delivered. Charity is superior to all other virtues. Again, in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, St. Paul talks of the excellence of charity. In fact, he devotes a full chapter on it. Let me quote directly from this. If I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I have become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What's he saying there? What he's saying is my words mean nothing. So listen to me, brethren. And if I have prophecy and know all the mysteries and all the knowledge, And if I have all faith as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. These gifts of prophecy and knowledge and faith without love mean nothing. Paul is speaking and writing for all those who will come after him and telling us in very straightforward language what being a true Christian really means. And listen to this final shot. He says, and if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Paul is saying that I disappear from the landscape as though I had never lived. And this is the deepest connection between a lack of love and eternal desolation. If you're taking notes, I strongly recommend that you read these citations in their entirety. Then something popped into my head. In 1965, yes, 65, before many of our listeners were born, a song was composed by famous lyricist Hal David with music by Burt Bacharach. And the song was entitled, What the World Needs Now Is Love, Sweet Love. I thought about this song and remembering the words were written for a simpler age, but contain some mirroring thoughts from St. Paul's ancient epistles. Here's a couple of stanzas from that song. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Pretty good, isn't it, huh? Here's the second stanza. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. You can look that up on the net too. Quite interesting. I recall the song. It was sung by any number of well-known artists. And it was sung as a lilt, a song of happiness. But to true Christians, it had a far deeper meaning. A connection as we've made to the scriptures. Hal David was a Jew who certainly knew scriptures and was descended from an Austrian Jewish family, and his parents were Austrian Jewish and grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I think the key line in his song is, "No, not just for some, but for everyone." Let's pick up Paul's words one final time in 1 Corinthians, where he contrasts a charity with other gifts. He said, "Charity never fails, whereas prophecies will disappear and tongues will cease." I think he's talking about us next week, by the way. "And knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But that which is perfect has come when that which is perfect has come. That which is imperfect will be done away with." When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see through a mirror in an obscure manner. And now this confuses a lot of people when they read this in Scripture. Paul is talking about extemporaneous speaking. And he uses this as a metaphor. He's talking about being guided solely by the Holy Spirit, but then face to face. So Paul goes into a town, or the apostles for that matter. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. The words just come. Then Paul says, "Now I hope in part, but when I shall know, even as I have been known, so there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." My brothers and sisters in Christ, quoted many times tonight from Scripture, but have done this knowingly to convince you that it is our reference and refuge and strength against the evil of the world, and to sell you one last time on becoming fully catechized. For you should know that every citation used tonight came directly from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, wherein Scripture is organized in such a way that we can access it by topic. It's all there in one compendium, the Catechism of St. John Paul and Benedict the 16th. The more you read this book, the more marvelous it becomes, brothers and sisters. It's all there in one compendium. We, as you know, have put together with the Fiat Ministry Network TV a new system to teach this voluminous catechism using a multi-sensory approach and a proven method. And I want you to check out my website on this, for details. It's www.johnmcurry.com. And I ask you, brothers and sisters, do not get caught up in the marketing of Alpha, currently being promoted in many dioceses. Its intention is not to catechize, but to say on behalf of the diocese, we are making an attempt. It is lip service at best. And I'm being kind tonight because I'm talking about charity. The fruits of charity are joy, peace, and mercy. Charity demands beneficence. And fraternal correction. We've talked about that so many times. Fraternal correction. That's rebuking. It is also benevolence. It fosters reciprocity and remains disinterested and generous. It is friendship and it is communion. Those are my thoughts on an act of love. We love and deeply respect all steadfast, Catholic anointed and consecrated people, bishops, priests, deacons, brothers, and nuns. Our motivation in doing these broadcasts is not to challenge or replace the teaching authority of the magisterium, as expressed in items 84 through 100 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Our desire is to strengthen it. This apostolate is based upon speaking and writing with the only goal being the salvation of souls. We have no other agenda. We promise that all of our speaking and writing conforms completely to the compendium of faith as expressed in that catechism, which we will not alter in any way. Okay, we come down to the final week next week. As I indicated earlier, I might go the full 2 hours. We're actually allotted a 2-hour slot for my broadcast. I don't want to wear the audience out, and so that we've rarely gone past an hour and a half. There have been a few occasions, but I try to lay the material out in such a way that we can cover it adequately in 90 minutes. However, next week, when we talk about until we meet again, I've got a big challenge. I've already begun assembling the materials for next week's broadcast, and it's very clear to me that we might push 2 hours. Guard yourself for that for next week. I think it'll be worth it, though, because many of you have joined us in the last year, for example. We've been doing this now for upwards of just right at 4 years, and we'll talk a little bit about the previous network. We were on the Fidelis Radio Network before Forward Boldly was formed, and all of that next week to give you a complete picture of that and all of the topics that we have talked about and why we have selected these topics. And I think you'll find it interesting. What else do I have to cover here? Do I have anything else to cover here? I'm looking at my director. Okay, the title of the next week's broadcast is going to be Until We Meet Again. And that will be the final broadcast in this series on Blog Talk Radio. I mentioned the nuns earlier tonight and asked you to buy some soap from them. I'm going to say a final prayer tonight to Michael the Archangel. My middle name is Michael, and you probably know that we're affiliated with churchmilitant.tv, and their patron is Michael the Archangel. Ours has, of course, been Joan of Arc. So we're going to do a final prayer tonight, imploring Michael the Archangel to strengthen us all in the faith and make us warriors for Christ. Please bow your heads. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our safeguard against the malice and snares of the devil. O God, we humbly pray and beseech thee to rebuke them. I lost my thought here. That's terrible. St. Michael the Archangel, I will repeat, defend us in battle. Be our safeguard against the malice and snares of the devil. Oh, God, we. You see why I have to retire? Oh, my goodness gracious. My mother and dad in heaven are smiling at me and saying, our son is having trouble saying a prayer he learned when he was 5 years old. That's fascinating. Okay. I think we've all had those moments. So we do this live. And so if we goof up, it's there for the world to see. At any rate, I look forward to next week very much, not because it's the end, but it's the beginning of something that we've worked on for a long time, and that is this apostolate and how we summarize what we've accomplished and how we share that with a wide audience. Until then, we ask God blessing on every one of you and bid you good night. Thank you.